Hey, welcome in. Time for an editorial on the KE report. I've been hyping this thing all day. The reason I'm hyping it is because I wanted to get three opinions on this particular subject. Three people who I have come to really, truly respect. One is Jim McKinney. You guys all know Jimmy. Jimmy is a neighbor. He was very, very astute politically. He was the chairman of the re-elect Trump committee in the entire county. As you guys all know, he's a Secret Service, ex-Army intelligence officer, boots on the ground all over the Middle East. Dan Pacenti, you guys all know Dan. Dan manages money for people in the Bay Area. So far, he has one client, and that's me. He's managing $25,000. Dan is probably up there in the seven figures in terms of money that he manages. And then, of course, Charles Page. Chuck is a relatively newcomer to the site. I've got a lot of time for Chuck. He's a surgeon. He is very, very well informed on political issues. He is a Christian, as I am, and as Dan is also. He was very disappointed that Trump did some of the things that he did, as was I. I want to start out with Jim McKinney, though, here. And the reason I want to start out with my friend Jim is that I would maintain that if Trump would have sucked up a little bit, pardon me, Irish Tony, I know you don't know what that means, but if he would have been a little bit more conciliatory, oh, geez, Tony, I'm sorry, I used another big word. If he would have been a little more Tony is one of my best friends. If Donald would have been a little bit more conciliatory, he would have been reelected. But it didn't happen. He was not conciliatory. He drew a line in the sand, and nobody could walk across it. Jim disagrees with me. Jimmy, why do you disagree?
I disagree because I believe that it wouldn't make any difference how hard he reached out, how far he reached out, and how much he reached out to try to accommodate. I believe that the Washington insiders, and especially the senior leaders in the Democratic Party, were so afraid of what Donald Trump was going to do to the system and to how things operated in D.C. for so long, and in fact was somewhat successful in deregulation and reducing the influence of lobbyists, of a tremendous number of areas that he did really well with in the economy. They were so afraid of him. There's nothing he could have done to keep them from going the direction that they did. They used his personality weaknesses to create fear and hate. And
yes,
I'm surprised, but
yes,
but hate was successful. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of it was fabricated. And I'm so sorry to see that. I am so sorry to see that America has fallen for that.
You know, in our book club, which you haven't attended recently, by the way, McKinney, we're not going to let you in the next meeting. That's pretty much the way the members feel. And they bring up what happened in Yugoslavia in terms of the infighting that went on in Yugoslavia. They bring up the fact that you got, you know, tribes, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what's kind of happened in the United States. People think we only have two tribes in the U.S., Republicans and Democrats. That's totally not true. Within the Republican Party, you've got various tribes. Within the Democratic Party, you've also got various tribes. And that tribalism is what really tore apart Yugoslavia. I want to ask Chuck a question right now, and then I'm going to pass it over to Dan. Chuck, the reason that I could not vote for a Democrat is because, as you, I have certain Christian moral values, and so that I don't offend anybody, I'm going to say I have certain Judeo-Christian values, and when Danny gets the mic, he's going to say the same thing. I personally believe that I could not vote for the liberals because I think that their moral values are wrong. What's your opinion, Chuck?
Well, I mean, I think their worldview is so messed up right now. I mean, as far as what they're, you know, what they're propagating, that they're propagating all these different incoherent, incompatible notions that don't make any sense because it's all based upon this, you know, this crazy worldview of truth and arbitrary absolutes. And so it's really just confusing our nation. So, you know, at least most conservatives and Republicans at least have somewhat of a cohesive worldview. Once again, I don't agree with everything in the Republican agenda, but I do think that it's a cohesive worldview. I do think that, you know, the pro-choice and the pro-life issue is a big issue for me. And I do think that the liberals are getting more and more just trigger happy about abortions. In fact, there's no ethics to it at all anymore. And we're just on a slippery slope as far as our nation. You know, now we're at the point where no one can even really have a good, honest discussion about issues because things are so emotionally charged. And I think the Democrats have been successful in dividing people on based upon sex and race, you name it. And so that's really been the goal instead of bringing people together. And in a sense, I do agree with what Jim said. You know, Trump only made an underlying surface. He only brought it, you know, more to people's attention. I mean, the division was already there.
Well, let's flip over just for a second to Dan Pacini. You know, Dan's a guy that my kids call him Uncle Dan. My wife is in love with him, which I gotta tell you makes me very angry, Dan. Number two, I don't see how anybody could be in love, you know, with a good-looking Italian man like you. But anyway, having said that, Dan's parents, Ed and Janet, are both very conservative and very, very bright people. His sisters, Maria and Tina, fall into the same category. And I have not met Dan's older brother, any one of those family members who Kathy and I know came very close or could come very close to convincing Kathy that the liberal agenda was not the proper agenda right now. Dan, but let's not worry about the agendas. Let's talk about what you and I were talking about off mic just a little while ago, and that is, did Trump have a choice in doing what he did in terms of there was a major, major disturbance? I would say a riot was incited, and I don't know who incited it in Washington, D.C. We had a woman who was killed, shot point-blank range in the neck. That is something that the Democrats are going to make hay out of, and they're going to maintain that the president caused that. Give me an opinion, Dan. Did the president do the right thing or the wrong thing last Wednesday?
Well, let me start by saying, echoing what Jim was talking about, Trump is not a threat to the United States. He's not a threat to democracy. He's a threat to the left, and he always has been. And that's proven by the way they're treating him right now. Right now, they're trying to impeach him. He's got a week and a half left in his administration, but they have to impeach him. And then they're thinking about trying him once the new Congress is in, once he's out of office.
Yeah.
Think about that. They have to destroy him. They're not. It's not good enough that he just leaves office. They must destroy him because he's a threat to them. He's not a threat to the country. As far as that incident, if you see the people that are complaining about it, most of them did not watch the rally. I watched the rally from start to finish. We watched everything.
Yeah.
We're financial people.
Yeah. Right.
I watched it from start to finish. It looked like a typical Trump rally, typical Trump statements. Then the press breaks away. Trump gets in his car, goes back to the White House. And you didn't think anything of it. I didn't see anything inciting or anything close to that. And they talked about a march. Americans march. We march against injustice. Many people believe that election, the way it was done with the confetti ballot system and all the other garbage and violating state legislatures' laws, they feel it's a corrupted election. They're pretty angry about it. So they marched, and they marched to the Capitol. How many marches have there been to the Capitol? Many. Well, some people, And it may be some on the left involved in that, but some people that were in there stirring up trouble took it too far. And that's on them. You know, they want to tie it to Trump, and it's too bad. I mean, it's coincidental. They want to tie it to him, but the fact of the matter is he didn't incite anything. I didn't hear a single word that incites. They talk about the word fight. Well, we fight politically. That's what we do. He never asked anybody to break any laws. He never asked anybody to storm the Capitol building. This is nonsense. It really is. It's unfortunate. Nobody supports it. It was a bad situation. Some people died. The three people that died of medical emergencies, that had really nothing to do with the Capitol. They happened to be on the grounds, but the grounds are huge. The lady that was shot, you know, it's horrible. The police that got harmed, that one or two have died now. You know, it's not acceptable behavior, but to tie it to Trump, this is political opportunism, and it's not fair. And we've witnessed that the criminalizing of conservative thought, the criminalizing of normal values, and they have to put it down. They have to destroy it. And that's what we're seeing right now. They're going to finish him off. And this president has been treated the worst of any president I've ever seen. I thought George Bush was treated horribly. This is George Bush to the 26th power. It's shocking how we treated this president, from spying on him, accusing him of having mental problems, that we need to invoke the 25th Amendment. It isn't one time that they talked about this. It was many times. This was disgusting from start to finish. And I'm incensed. I don't know how conservatives can do anything in this country. It took a personality like Trump's, which rubs a lot of people the wrong way, including me sometimes. But it took that personality, because most conservatives apologize for their views in public. They can't really push their own views, because the other side makes you look like a hater, and they call you a hater. So I don't know. I'm sympathetic to Trump. I wish Americans hadn't treated him so horribly. I wish they'd let him leave with some grace, but they're not gonna. So.
And Dan, you know, I've got to just add to that you have this unbelievable media and tech industry push to basically influence and shape a large percentage of the population with this anger and frustration, and really manipulating information. And this, and the what you brought up with the people that actually died, somewhat related to the events on the 6th, really one person died directly because of this, and it was an unarmed woman that was shot by law enforcement. The other are incidental. We don't even know all the details, very little, but the media and the tech industry is using this as an opportunity to clamp down on all Republicans and all ideas, when in fact I have a personal friend that was there at the event outside the steps of the Capitol. Almost everybody was polite all day long. They were actually trying to help people avoid the police and help with the police. A handful of very vocal and frustrated people that represents really a large segment of this population in our nation went overboard, and then because of that, a couple instances. But the crime here is silencing voices and silencing other views and opinions and using this as an opportunity to clamp down. And it is incredibly scary to me that in our own nation, something is wrong by saying, hey, I supported a president that did tremendous things for 4 years, or something is wrong with saying I have conservative values. Something is wrong with saying, you know what, I support life. This is insanity. We are turned upside down right now.
Well, look, too, Nancy Pelosi says Trump is a danger to the country. He's a danger with the nuclear codes, and he's unhinged. Biden says that if black people, BLM, had charged the Capitol, they would have been treated differently. Now, is that inciting a riot? I mean, what do you do with people who are a danger with the nuclear codes? You would put that down with force, wouldn't you? Isn't that inciting a riot? But nobody ever asked Schumer or Pelosi or Biden, while our whole country was burning this year, last year, 2020, and they stood by and didn't say anything, or they supported the BLM movement. Nobody asked them to step down and said that they were inciting riots. But Trump somehow is inciting a riot. I mean, the double standard, it makes it very difficult. As a conservative, you know, we have to promote values and tell people, listen, we're not going to give you handouts. The other side, they back up the truck and hand everything out, And they've got academia and the media and tech and the Washington swamp all in their back pocket. And it, so we're fighting uphill all the time. We finally get a chance with somebody here, and they destroy him. So I don't, it gets tiresome. And the elephant in the room is that you've got all of these voters. There's 74 million voters now that support the policies of Trump. And there's probably a number of other people that didn't vote for Trump who support his policies. They just didn't like Trump. And they keep demeaning them. We're going to have a civil war in this country if we don't address these people and what they want out of their government. So,
well, Dan,
I don't know. I think it's a mistake.
Yeah, Dan, you bring up an interesting point. You know, Chuck, I got to tell you, you don't know Dan and Jimmy as well as I do. Let me just say one thing. They're pretty gregarious, as you can tell. Now, you don't do a damn thing in your life, Chuck, other than save people's lives. What are we going to do? What are we going to do now? Chuck, what are we going to do now?
What are we going to do now? I just back to what, you know, has been said and what Dan said. I think we need to realize that I still believe that the conservative people have truth on their side. You know, the old saying, you know, a lie goes halfway around the world before truth gets up in the morning. And so I think we have to realize that in the long term, truth wins. I think we have to respond in a way with the end game in mind. And I think the whole thing that happened was people just venting their frustrations. It's probably to what happened this summer with the riots, venting their frustrations and maybe in a sense doing this in the wrong way. And so I think we've got to take a step back. There's lessons we can always learn from this. And we can, you know, begin to kind of think more long term as far as how this country is going to change and how we're going to change people. Because, you know, I was reading, and you know, I'm a Christian, but I was reading a statement from Gandhi today. It says, "Be the change you want to see in the world." And I really think that, you know, it's about being. It's about who we are. It's not about tweeting. It's not about putting a post or talking on a, you know, on a radio program. As much as I love being on with you guys, it's really about us being who we say we are. And I think that's going to make the difference in the long term.
Well, we got to do something. We got to do something, that's for sure. My personal opinion here, and then we're going to wrap this thing up, but I'm going to give each and every one of my friends here a chance to wrap it up any way that they want to. I don't want to see any violence. I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt. Jim, Kathy and I moved, by the way, so you can't come over to my house with any weapons or with any mal or with any malintent. Okay, we moved about 2 hours ago. I'm not going to say.
Never happened.
I'm not going to say a word until about August, and then I'm going to say, let's see what happens. Let me just say this: I'm pessimistic, but I'm not going to opine on it. I'm just going to look at everything the way it is. The liberals were very well organized. They were very well funded. They presented the executive office with perhaps the biggest challenge it's ever had. Now let's see what they do. I'm not optimistic. Okay, we're going to wrap this thing up with Chuck, with Dan, and with Jim. Jimmy, why don't you go first?
So my recommendation is that the Republicans in the Senate and in the House inside Washington, D.C., the rhinos and everybody else realize that the opposition is not going to be their friend. Lindsey Graham tries to shake hands with Dianne Feinstein. You know, they continue to want to work the way things have worked in the past, but we continue to lose. So we have to start thinking as conservatives, think forward thinking. And I think Chuck said this well. We need to start thinking ahead of where we are going and what we want out of this country. And don't think that anybody's going to give you a break. They're not going to give you a break. We have to push for it, and we've got to do it in a reasonable way, in a correct way, in a nonviolent way. But we have to push for it and demand it. And you've got to have somebody like Donald Trump or somebody else that'll stand up and show people how to stand up and stand against this cancel culture that we're living in today.
Okay, nonviolent way. Kathy, we're all right, honey. He's not going to come over and beat the shit out of me. Danny, how about your turn?
I think political correctness is the hardest problem we need to get over. The fact of the matter is if everybody's a hater and everybody has malintent on everything they do and their words have to be carefully choreographed, we're in trouble. We won't solve a single issue. We won't solve race relations. We won't solve any differences between parties. Our schools are the biggest cause of this whole thing. Somebody's conservatives have to get into schools. They're teaching our kids that everybody's horrible and the country's horrible. We just got to stop that. Twitter and our media, awful. Twitter's a sniper outfit where people just hide behind their modem and they say whatever they want to say. And we have to stop that. We have to start treating people as Americans. If you have a difference with them politically, you can still be friends. Breaking news.
Dr. Page. Your final word, sir.
I get the last word.
You get the last word.
So I mean, I just have to echo what Jim and Dan said. You know, I have, by the way, it's snowing in Texas. It never snows in Texas. We built an igloo today.
And wow.
As I was building, I've never done that, 6 inches of snow. And as I was doing that with my kids, I was thinking about kind of long-term. You know, I have a son that's fixing to go to law school. He wants to do constitutional law, very conservative. Have another son who's learning Hebrew and Greek and wants to translate the Bible. Now, my youngest son, Charlie, I just hope he stays out of jail. But as I look at my kids, I look at my two daughters who are very, they're very strong in their faith, intellectually. They're learning philosophy. They're learning Latin. I'm hopeful that we still have hope in the United States. But we've got to all be agents of change, you know, in whatever area of influence that we're in. We've got to live it, and we've got to be able to engage people and just realize that, hey, we're not perfect either. I mean, conservatives are not perfect, but we're going, it's direction. It's not about perfection.
Okay, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. All of these buddies of mine are going to continue to be on the show. I love them all. Little pissed off that Dan's father got a hole in one today. Now he's got six. I've only got one. Of course, I'm at 23. I'm a 23 handicap. And I think Ed is probably about a six. Let's get some comments on this, you guys.